Have you ever been so scared you felt your heart race and your palms sweat? What's up, you guys? I'm Ashtone, and you are listening to the Viva La Life Podcast 2.0 Experience. And today's topic is the science of fear. What are we going to talk about? I'm going to try to talk about the biology of fear, the evolutionary purpose of fear, and how we can manage fear in our daily lives. So, is that something you want to listen to? Stay tuned, because we're talking about it. The science of fear. A little bit of a deep dive? Well, what is it called? The amygdala. That's the part of the brain that's responsible for processing fear. There's also the fight or flight response when you're afraid. And that's a physiological change that occurs. You could be in the fight or flight response for years. Trust me. I've been there. But then you have different types of fear. You have phobias, you have social anxiety, an existential fear. I actually have a phobia of snakes. I'm gonna keep it light, because why would I share my real phobias on air? Like, why would I give you that type of ammo? But yeah, I have a phobia of snakes. Now, a phobia is just like that. Like, you could have arachnophobia, which is like the fear of spiders. You could have homophobia, which is the fear of gays. You can have pretty much a fear of ghosts, a fear of spirits, a fear of the dead. A fear of snakes, like me. A fear of dying. Okay, but is a fear of dying existential fear? I don't think so. But existential fear could be like the thought, what happens when we die? A lot of people actually experience existential fear at one point in their lives, at least. It could be triggered by big changes, losses, trauma. And it's not always a bad thing. It could be a positive experience. And that's only if you use that as medicine, as a way to grow and learn more about yourself and your values and even your blockages and the subconscious playlist that goes on in your head. Some people also call it existential anxiety or dread. It's a human thing. So if you suffer from that, how would you know? You might ask the questions, what's the point of it all? Does my life even matter? I already talked about the what happens when we die. Which, it's literally all existent questions, like questions about your identity and your existence. We will cover it on another episode, but the first one, what's the point of it all? I feel like, yeah, I agree. There could be, I think you're led to question your existence. Can I give an example? Was it a fear? Yeah. Well, anxiety. Anxiety and fear can go hand in hand. Dread. I think going through a divorce, but not just the divorce part. Right after my ex-husband kidnapped our kids from me, and it took three months for me to see them again. He kept them from me for 3 months. And during that time, I experienced the worst existential anxiety. One, because I think it's cruel and inhumane to keep a mother from her children. Like, when a kid is born, the first thing they do is give the mom and the baby skin to skin so they can bond. It's like a chemical thing that helps with the mom's brain, and it's a chemical thing that helps with the baby's brain, and it forms a bond and it forms an attachment. So with that being said, if that's the first thing doctors do when a baby is born, imagine how necessary the rest of your child's life would be. Or how necessary a mom is for the rest of your child's life, for a child's life. Very important, and it goes both ways. So like, that cutoff, being cut off from them, led me into like an existential anxiety. Like, I didn't know who I was. Like, I lost my identity. Like, so much of my life became mom. Like, being a mother was such a big part of my life, and to just lose that for 3 months, you start questioning, like, what am I here for? What's the point of it all? Like, I literally had the what's the point of it all so much, because it's like, not that my identity is being a mother, but that's my role. Like, for me, I know a lot of women's like, to me it is. Like, to me, being a mother is my identity. It's an identity that I assume because I want to be, and also because I have children. So yeah, that's just like my example of existential fear / anxiety. How do you cope with that? I took it on the chin. Like, I prayed a lot. Shout out to Shanetta. If you're on YouTube, you've probably seen Shanetta. I think her channel is Shanetta's Divine Tarot. Don't get all hung up on the word tarot. You know, there's way more worse things in life than that word. So go fuck yourself if you're bothered by that word. But like, watching Shanetta's videos and participating in her candle rituals really like just gave me a sense of community, and it just made me feel less alone. And that's what, you know, the experts, they recommend: sharing your fears with a friend, a family member, a therapist, or a religious leader. Be careful with the religious leader though, because some religions use your traumas and trials to brainwash you. Let me just keep it real. Some religions capitalize on your downfall to get members. So be careful about that one. But a friend, a family member, a therapist, those are good ones. Also, get comfortable in the unknown. You don't have all the answers and you don't know what's next. And also, focusing on your day-to-day life and being present can help you out of your existential fears or anxiety. I talked about phobias a little bit, and I have a phobia of snakes. There's other ones, but actually, to keep it all within the same context, before my kids were kidnapped, that was my biggest fear in life. Like, my biggest phobia were my children being taken from me and them not having access to me while also being abused mentally. Because we're not going to slander anybody. I can't say physical, but I know mental. But anyways, yeah, that was one of my biggest phobias, like having them, and it happened, you know. I literally went through hell in high water. But phobias, some are intense, some are irrational, but I'm not gonna say all of them are irrational, because you would assume that my phobia of having my kids taken, like kidnapped, would be an irrational fear. And then it turned out it was like a literal fear. Like, that's an actual fear. It's not irrational at all. That can happen. I don't want to say something to be afraid of, but it's understandable if you are afraid. But yeah, I already talked about arachnophobia. There is the fear of heights. There's claustrophobia, agoraphobia, fear of dogs, fear of flying, social phobia, which was on here. But some people allow it to like cripple them, where they avoid living life. For example, if you have a fear of spiders, you might avoid any place with spiders, like an attic or outdoors or something. I feel like, do you have to change everything? I know the experts always recommend treating things, like these experts recommend treating phobias with therapy, medication, or both, with one of them being like exposure therapy. But sometimes I'm like, can we just let people be people? Like, if people are afraid of spiders, can they just be afraid of spiders in peace? Like, do we have to heal everything? Do we have to heal everything? I will say, if it starts compromising the quality of your life, but eventually you will not be happy with the mental blockages you've set, and you will change it. But like, to just always gotta heal everything, like, no. I mean, I guess, but you know what I mean. Like, but in regards to like the science of fear, oh yeah, I wanted to back up because I did talk about the fight or flight response, and I have an example for that. So a long time ago, I lived in San Bernardino, and I worked at Macy's, and I would have to walk from the mall, the Inland, all the way to like Delrose and Date. That was like a 2 to 3 hour walk, like 2.5 hour walk. So, and I got off late. So between the hours of like 11 to like 3 a.m. because, you know, between getting off of work at 11 and then finally getting home, I would just say between the hours of 11 to 3, I was on the streets walking in San Bernardino, California, from work to home. And then sometimes I had to walk to work. And if I had to be there at 6, that means I had to leave at about 3. So however you spin it, whether I was going to work or getting off from work, there were times when I walked in the middle of the night. And you might think, Ash Tonay, how come nobody ever picked you up? For two reasons. One, I'm better at it now. I will ask for help after days of stressing. It takes me days of stressing. That might be related to my social anxiety because people make me nervous. But I'm better at it now. But back then, I was like, I always felt that if you had to ask for help, it's because you're failing in life. And that wasn't a judgment. I genuinely thought that. I genuinely thought that if you asked for help, it's because you are a failure. So I just struggled a lot by myself because I didn't want to be a failure, and I didn't want people to perceive me as a failure. So with that being said, I'm walking the streets in the middle of the night coming home, a single woman, skinny. No, I really was skinny. But one particular night, I heard like footsteps creeping. Like, no, I didn't hear footsteps. I heard like a shuffle. And so something in me told me to turn around. I turn around and there's this big ass guy charging at me, like he's running at me high speed. It throws me off because I was not expecting to turn around and see someone actually running at me. Like, I just thought I would turn around because that's what I usually do. If I hear somebody behind me and I'm walking, I turn around and I see that that's what they're doing or whatever it is. But to turn around in the middle of the night and you just see this grown man running at you freaked me out. I did what every white woman in every horror movie does. I tripped over my own feet. I turned around and tripped over my own feet. I was so terrified that I couldn't even scream. Like, my voice was just like ripped away from me. Extra setting information. I don't know if this matters or not, but I want to note that right across the street was a cemetery. So back to the point. So yeah, like, my voice leaves me. I knock my own self on the ground. And I'm just like watching. The guy grabs me, backs up, runs up, grabs me again. At this point, so he runs up to me, I fall, I get up, and then he grabs me, and then he backs up, and then he grabs me again, and then he looks at me in my face, and then backs off. Like, he just turns around and just walks off. fight or flight? I feel like. What was my fight or flight? I feel like it should have engaged, but I didn't either. I feel like my fight or flight arc, now that I'm telling the story, I'm like, okay, how does that relate with fight or flight? Like, I don't know, because I didn't flight and I didn't fight. I actually goofed. But yeah, in those situations, though, your fight or flight is supposed to be engaged. But see, this is the thing. I have lived majority of my life in fight or flight mode. After my dad died, I think I stayed in a permanent energy of fight or flight. And that's exhausting. Like, you get so drained. You get so drained staying in that. And it wasn't until 2023, or maybe, no, I think it was 2022. It was like August of 2022 when I realized that I am still in fight or flight from just everything in life. And I posted about it too, and it was just like a reminder for myself to switch out of the fight or flight mode. And that was when I actually switched off my fight or flight. And I noticed that a lot of things start opening up to me, like concepts, opportunities, everything. With that being said, some people see fear as a negative emotion, but it's also useful for survival. Like for me, I don't know where the fear of failure would come in, but my fear of failure has me like overachieving Susie. Like, I'm an overachiever because I have this huge fear of failing. Of failing, being perceived as failing. Like, that keeps me going. Some might say it's negative, and in a way it can be, because it used to keep me in the fight or flight response. Like, I would be so wired up about succeeding at everything, simply because, like I said, if I needed help, sorry, I'm eating dinner. I'm eating a poor man's dinner, noodles with pesto. And a little bit of lemon zest. But yeah, my fear of failure and like asking for help kept me in such a wound up state. So it's like, on one hand, it was good because it has me like achieving a lot of things that most people can't do, but then it's also unhealthy to stay in that, because like, for one, it make my stomach hurt. Like, living in fear makes my stomach hurt. Like, I can't. It makes my stomach hurt. It makes my muscles tense. It's just a whole thing. Like, physically, mentally, spiritually, it's just... It's a good emotion to use for medicine, but not... Don't live there. Learn there, but don't live there. I had to see what I was doing on time. I was listening to an old episode of Viva La Life podcast, and I really liked how focused it was on self-development and how it pointed out little peculiarities that we as humans do and go through, and just shed light on it with some takeaways, some discussion, all of that. And it really inspired me to like go back to those roots, because like season 1 and 2 stuck to that. Season 3 was when we went on tour, and it kind of got convoluted, and we also added a person to the show, and I feel like it changed the trajectory. Season 3 and season 4, and really even season 5, although I feel like season 5 was like the call to action in regards to getting back to what the original Viva La Life podcast was for. I'm like looking at these noodles and my stomach hurts. I don't know why. I don't know why. Is there a stomach bug going around? Because I feel like there's a stomach bug going around the world and it's not in the news. I'm not hearing anyone talk about it, but I bet you on an individual level, you know of someone within the past 2 or 3 months that had a stomach bug or a stomach virus, or you yourself has had one. I'm gonna die on that assumption because this is like my third time having a stomach issue. But yeah, like, and so I know this isn't the actual Biba Life podcast. Did I say 2.0? Ugh, I'm all over the place, but you know the vibes. I know the title is The Journey to Creating the Biba Life Podcast, and that's exactly what this is. We changed the name, and I'm still trying to, like, remember and just remember. But with that being said, yeah, I want to get back to that. So that's why I chose this topic. Now, it wouldn't be... It wouldn't be a typical Biba Life podcast episode if I didn't give you actionable tips in regards to the science of fear. I went back to that. Key takeaways. I don't know. Fear is normal. It's normal to have fear. Some people demonize it. I was talking about that a little bit. They think it's negative. And it is. It's negative simply because it's on that spectrum. But it also could be on the spectrum of positivity. It really depends on your perception of fear. That's the thing I'm learning about life, is that although we would like to give things labels and universal meanings, at the end of the day, things only mean as much as the individual perceives it to mean. So I can say all day, fear is not negative, fear is positive, or whatever. But if someone's perceiving it as a negative experience, and that's what it is, and that's where I would prefer for them to be. Be with how you feel. Don't hear, oh, it's supposed to be positive, and try to force your fear to be something it's not. If it's negative to you, it's just freaking negative, and deal with it where you are. Meet yourself where you are. And if it's positive, it's positive. But overall, it is a normal human emotion. And as much as the spiritual community loves to ignore this fact, fear is the catalyst for change. It's not until you're afraid of something that you find out what you're made of. Either you're going to meet it and go past, or you're going to let it stop you and stay. Like, that's pretty much what it is. But you would never know that if you don't identify it, and some people don't. Like, for me, it took me a while to identify that I have social phobia, and I had to get down to the root of it, because it wasn't presenting as that. It was presenting as, oh, I just don't want to go out, I don't want to talk to people, finding a reason to not have a connection with people. So, but also you feel lonely because you are alone a lot. So it took me sitting down and realizing, getting to the root of this, to realize, hey, I think you might have a fear of social situations or a fear of people, and that's why you're a loner. So identifying your fears can help you get to the root cause. Exposure therapy. That's something I'm working on in regards to my social phobia, exposing myself to my fears in a safe environment. Safe environment, I guess you could say that, because it's not like I'm gonna go in the middle of a shootout and start trying to get rid of my social phobia. That wouldn't be safe. That would further confirm my fear of humans. But I would go to a library or a bar, try to get some social situations in. And I did it once. I went to this comedy show, and that was me trying to get out there into the real world. Because like I said, I do have a social phobia. And I like it. I think I So say, I think I just need to find more people to go with. But how are you going to find people to go with if you don't go anywhere to find people? So it's like, I'm in this cycle that I'm trying to break. And I'm like, I need to make new friends, or friends, period. Because let's not cap. I need to make friends, but I feel like I need friends to make friends. Right? I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of the exposure therapy part. And then you have relaxation techniques. Practice deep breathing, meditation, or mindfulness to calm your fight or flight response. And I do that a lot. If you caught the live today, live with Ash Tone, if you're on the website, then just scroll down after this episode and catch it. We were kind of going over that specific topic, you know, the social phobia with people popping in the live. And I realized that although I love hosting and I'm an entertainer, I do have a little bit of fear of a live audience. Now, if I was on a production set and it was pre-recorded, I can thrive. But it's not until I have a live audience that I notice it is a little freaky to me. So what did I do? I did a little bit of deep breathing and some mindfulness to calm the fight or flight response with that. And it seemed to do well for the rest of the episode, but it's gonna take practice. That's the biggest thing in overcoming fears. Practice. Forgive yourself when you fail and keep trying again. So, do you have any experience with fear, and how did you manage them? Leave a comment below or leave a comment on the website if you joined the community. Also, leave a review. Leave a review. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And I will catch you guys on the next episode of the Journey to Creating Viva La Life podcast. I'm the host, Ash Tone, and I am aware that I introduced it as the Viva La Life podcast 2.0, but I completely forgot about the rebrand because it is still new to me. So just to make sure you understand what this is that you're listening to, you are listening to the Journey to Creating Viva La Life podcast hosted by Ash Tone. You can visit the Viva La Life podcast website, www.vivalalifepodcast.com, for more entertainment, for all of the lives, for some one-on-one contact with me, and whatever else, blog post, everything. I believe that's it, you guys, and I will catch you on the flip side. Bye. What's up, Viva fam? Just wanted to interrupt your streaming of this episode of Viva the Life podcast to tell you that Viva the Life podcast is now online. The Viva the Life podcast is now vivalalifepodcast.com. Head over there. You can chat with other members, voice your opinions on the subjects and the episodes. There's also merch, so go check it out. vivalalifepodcast.com. I'm heading over there myself, so after this episode, let's all join there for the party.